All right. Welcome, GCF Church. How are we doing this morning?
Good.
Good. If you don't know me, my name is Blake. I'm one of the pastors here. And we are in the middle of a series we're calling The Gospel According to Mark. So if you're unfamiliar with maybe the Gospels or what that means, there are four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And think of it this way. Think about four different individuals editing or following around Jesus doing a documentary on his life and how they got to maybe tell a particular message or particular advantage or perspective about his life that we glean from. And so when we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get to see a particular perspective that Mark is giving us this morning. And so last week, we looked at how Jesus would go away and spend time alone with God. And we called it the secret to Jesus' success, his relationship with God that he cultivated. He was God, but his relationship with the Father that he cultivated with time alone with God. Did anybody get to spend some time alone with God this week from last week's message? A few of us? Okay. Kind of. Okay, it's all right. I did, and I was challenged by last week's message. I spent some extra time this week. It was refreshing to me, and I hope it was to you as well. This morning, I want to look at an interesting story that we see about Jesus. It's peculiar in a lot of ways, but I'm calling this holistic transformation. And that's encouraging to me because Jesus has come to transform our lives. I'll say that again. Jesus has come to transform our lives. Not just to make a decision, not just to come in a building like this, but he's come to transform lives to such a degree that we become agents of transformation on our campus, in our city, in the nations of the world. In fact, our mission to reach our city to change the world just gives a glimpse of that. Just kind of whets our appetite for that. And so I want to look at, before it was kind of trendy to be holistic, right? It's kind of trendy now. I'm holistic, you know. Well, good for you. But before it was trendy, Jesus was doing holistic transformation. And I want us to look at an interesting passage here in Mark chapter 1. Verse 40 through 45, let's read together. And a leper came to him, imploring him, or begging, kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Basically, he's saying, "Man, if you want to, Jesus, you could do this for me. If you will, you can make me clean. Move with pity." And the NIV says, "With indignation, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him." Isn't that amazing? When Jesus touches sin or the effects of sin, sin changes. Jesus doesn't change. And the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him. It's the only time I think that's there in the whole New Testament. Jesus just got in this brother's face. What did he say? "Sent him away at once and said to him, 'See to it that you say nothing to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it." Just like our kids, man. I was stern. They said they understood. He spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. It's interesting here. Jesus, last week, talked about Jesus going to desolate places and essentially digging a spiritual well of relationship with the Father. He was digging this well of a relationship with God. And one paragraph later, we see Jesus by that well in desolate places, and the masses coming to him, and he's nourishing them out of that well. Before I get ahead of myself, let's pray as we dig into this passage this morning. Father, help us this morning have your heart and your passion. Help us see you, maybe in a way we haven't before. Help us see ourselves in a way we haven't before. And Lord, help us walk these truths out in a way that our lives are changed and maybe even a city's changed because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Holistic transformation. I'm going to talk this morning about the passion, the process, and the plan of transformation. The passion, the process, and the plan. Number one, the passion for transformation. Here's a man who broke through legal barriers to get near Jesus. I don't know if we understand this, but in this time, if a man had leprosy or a woman had leprosy, they were not allowed into the town. They were pushed aside. They had leper colonies. They had places that they could go, but they could not enter into the city because the leprosy might get others infected. And so we had to isolate them, push them out. And so here's a man passionate about getting rid of that for which is holding him back, that for which is eating him away. He's passionate. He breaks the law. They could have thrown rocks at him legally. They could have killed him. He didn't care. Desperate. He runs to Jesus and begs him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Kneeling before him. I mean, can you imagine this man getting down, kneeling before Jesus, at any moment expecting to be hit, spit upon, didn't care, passionate to come before Jesus. It's amazing what it takes for us to get passionate to get rid of that which is eating us alive. I mean, theoretically, this man could have lost his marriage, his family. If he was married or had a family, he couldn't be with them. I mean, what will it take us to be passionate to get rid of that which is eating us from the inside out? See, leprosy is a skin condition, but it deadens the nerves. And a particular strand of leprosy, you would see people without fingers and toes, not because the leprosy was eating it, but because they couldn't feel anything. And so they would literally be having their hand in the fire, and they'd smell it. Smells like bacon. It was them. Oh, right? They couldn't feel it. And so there was doing things that could hurt them extremely bad, and they had no feeling of it. Paul says it like this to Timothy. Their consciences are seared as a hot iron. They're doing things that maybe 5 years ago, a decade ago, that's wrong. Now they're doing this thing, and there's nothing wrong with it. But he was passionate. He said, "Look, even though I'm here, even though I don't like what I see, even though I don't like what I become, I've had enough. I'm not going to sit in it any longer." And he pushes through the crowd to get to the feet of Jesus. He's passionate. It's going to take passion to get rid of some of the things in our hearts and our lives. It's not going to take a casual response to that which is destroying you. It's going to take a radical response. Jesus said it this way: if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, Jesus' disciples had eyes and hands. So we know he wasn't speaking literally, but he was saying, "Look, listen, what is it going to do? If it's keeping you in sin, get rid of it." There's passion to get rid of this leprosy. There's passion to become clean. Maybe to go back and see his family. Maybe he realized how much he lost finally. What will it take? What an interesting question. What an interesting statement to this man makes to Jesus. If you will, you can make me clean. If you will. And we have a tendency, and I do too, to emphasize the passion of this man to get right. Leprosy in the Bible is an analogy. It was a metaphor for sin itself. Eating away of the soul. And here, this man was willing to do whatever it takes. I have, my dad has a friend who's abused alcohol for years and finally got free. And he'll talk to men and women who are abuse substances or pornography or other things. And he'll sit down and talk with them. And they'll walk away and he says, they're not ready. They don't have the passion of what it's going to take to get clean. They think they can just kind of casually make some adjustments here and not realizing how deep they're entrenched. The passion it takes passion. But I think if we do a casual reading of this, we miss a greater passion. See, when Jesus hears this man's request, it said, if you, the earlier and reliable manuscripts don't use the word pity, they use the word anger, indignation. When Jesus heard this man's request, it made him mad. And that's interesting because he doesn't react to this man in anger. In fact, he reaches out his hand and touches him. He broke the law. Jesus broke the law by touching this man. He wanted this man, and I'll get ahead of myself, not just to be clean of his leprosy, but to know the love of God. So he wasn't mad at him, but he was mad. Why? Because Jesus knew that the sin in our hearts and lives will destroy us. They'll keep us from an intimate relationship with God. They keep us from the very life we long for. And it makes him mad. See, God's angry at sin, not because he's angry at fun, but because sin destroys us. And it makes him angry. Not at us. Do you see this? He's angry and loving at the same time. Why? Because he hates sin, but he loves us. He's passionate. In fact, the phraseology he uses here, he sternly warned him. You could also interpret that as he mumbled and groaned. Go. Go to the priest. Do what it takes. He's passionate. And we might look here and say, see that man? If he didn't have passion, go to Jesus and ask for his healing, he would have leprosy to this day. And you know what? You'd be right. Or we say in my family, you're not wrong. Like somebody says something this maybe brash and a little bit over the line, we say, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Because it's going to take passion to run to Jesus to get right. It's going to take an understanding that I can't live this way anymore. There's some sin. There's some things I've hidden. There's some ways I'm dealing at home. There's some things that no one knows about. There's some interactions I'm having with family and friends and people I shouldn't. That is eating me alive. There's this passage in Ecclesiastes that says, he who breaks through the wall may be bitten by the snake. And it's interesting that we'll take a boundary we know that God has put up for our good and we'll break through. And because we haven't been bitten, we think it's okay. We could break through again. And we go back to the wall and we break through. But eventually, the snake will bite. But if all we focus on this man's passion, we miss the whole point. This man didn't have any power to heal himself. This man walked across the street in his own town to come to Jesus to get his healing. And we're going to applaud that. Wow, look at that passion. But how did Jesus get here? We're going to elevate what we've done to get healing. What did God do? God was in all of heaven, saints and angels and creatures flying, shouting out, "Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty." In all of eternity, beauty and wonder. And there he is in all of that, and he lays it aside to come into our planet, get birthed to a servant girl, a poor woman in Israel during a Roman Empire in the first century. What did God do to get to this corner in this little fishing village so this man can get healed? And we're going to elevate what that, he walked across the street. God stepped into human history. We get halfway there. If you will, you can. I understand you have the power to heal, but you don't see the passion for him to get there. You don't see that God humbled himself and emptied himself and became a servant even to the point of death. You don't think that took passion? His love for us? And here we miss the passion of God for the passion of man. See, the passion, you got to understand, God is passionate about your transformation. He's not angry at you. Loving toward you, kind toward you, but angry at the sin that's destroying you. He's passionate to see you set free. He moved heaven and earth to get here so that you can walk a new way. See, we change typically for two reasons, pain or love. You know what? God took the pain. He'll say, if pain motivates you to get here, you're healed. But don't stay there. Don't miss the passion God has for you and your transformation. Which brings us to the second point, the process. I mean, what would it be for Jesus just to say, be clean? That was it. I mean, the guy wanted to be healed with leprosy. He just wanted to go home. I mean, I'm guessing, I'm speculating, but I'm just guessing, he just wanted to go home. And he comes to Jesus for one thing, but when he encountered Jesus, Jesus had other plans. We might have come to Jesus because we were depressed or bound up, but God took that moment to put a seed inside of you to ruin you for the purposes and the plan of God. See, you wanted to just make life a little easier, but God wanted to start a process in you that he transformed your whole being. You have things that are so destructive in you that you don't even know that are there yet. Then you get married and have kids and they show up. Right? Facts. I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. See, we want a quick fix. We want the surgery. We don't want the change of the lifestyle. Just cut that out and let me live how I've always lived. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm going to do something in this moment. Well, you can't live this way anymore. I'm going to reach out my hand and show you I love you and heal you. See, there's a process at play here. Go show yourself to the priest. Do you know what it would take for a man with leprosy to go show himself to the priest? This is what he would do. Man, he's healed. So there's excitement. We think because the healing happened, that was it. Oh! Right? We're gonna break away. We're going to run. We got healed. That was only the beginning. One encounter with Jesus. Oh! That was it. No, that was nothing. Go show yourself to the priest. This is what he'd have to do. He'd have to go. This is in Leviticus 14. Go back and study it. He would take two birds, a cedar wood, scarlet thread, some hyssop. He take that first bird over a water jar, and this is what the priest would do. He'd take those things, and this is what he'd do. He would shave you from head to toe. You go wash your clothes, go take a bath. See, baptism is important, right? It's a part of the process of your transformation. Then he'd take that one bird, the first bird, and he'd kill that bird over a bowl of water so that the blood would fall in. So the water now was red and bloody. And then he'd take the second bird and he would dip that bird into the bloody water and pull it out. So that bird's covered in blood. And then he'd release the bird and drive it out of the city. And then he'd take the hyssop and the cedar wood and the scarlet thread and dip that in the blood as well. And then he said, now you can come into the city, but you can't go into your home, your tent. You got to sleep outside. 7 days go by. The 8th day, he shaves you again top to bottom. Can you imagine the vulnerability, the scrutiny? He's wanting to make sure that every last bit of that leprosy is gone. Let me see behind your ears, right? Let me see behind your kneecaps. I mean, he's going in. Because what is he after? We got to make sure it's all gone. Now, I didn't have an encounter, but that Christ is changing me. See, there's a process here. We want a moment, but God's more interested in our whole transformation. Why? You can't have community until the process gets happened. You can't go back into the city. See, what's happening here is so interesting is that in a moment, this man's sins are forgiven. His leprosy's gone. He's affirmed from God. I love you. I see you. I'm reaching out to touch you. His identity's turned upside down. I'm a leper. I'm a castaway. I'm dirty. Now I'm clean. My identity's now in God. I'm taking your sin and your shame and the guilt we've all felt for the things that we've done, and he's driven it out. He wants this man to see the beauty of the gospel. Blood would be shed for the remission of his sins. And then after those 8 days are over, you got to bring your guilt offering. You got to slaughter the lamb. We just started. Why is all that important? Because look, it's not going to take just a moment. The call is not just to have a moment with God. The call is to follow Jesus as our master and we as his apprentice. And slowly and methodically, the gospel enters every crevice of your self-esteem and your identity and your habitual sin and your attitude. And he will not stop until he's wiped it all out. Philippians 1 says, the work I began in you, I will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. If we just want a little touch and live our lives the way we want, then we're not going to know the Savior because he didn't operate that way. He starts a work and then he systematically, through the circumstances of life and the movement of the Holy Spirit, reveals your sin so that he can wipe it away so you can follow the Savior. Oh, he's passionate about it. His love and his anger walk together in your life. See, the process isn't simple. It isn't cheap. Cost that man some money. Cost him some pride. Didn't it not? It's not an easy thing for a man to let another man inspect him. Cost him his pride. It was a process. That's why when we get right with God and we get baptized and we become a part of a community, and allow others to lovingly confront our attitudes and help us grow up and encourage us when we're down. It takes time. It takes a community. It's a community affair. That's why he didn't just heal his sin and wipe his leprosy and said, be free. No, get a part of community. Do ever what it takes to be a part of the community in your city. Come under the scrutiny of others. That's what he said. Because it's a process. I'm standing up here today letting you know I am in process. This was a dumpster fire when Jesus showed up. And he only started to put out some of the fires. And he's this week challenging me. Yesterday, I had to send out an apology to a person in a conversation I had yesterday. I didn't want to do that. The brother's not even saved. He's insulted that I'm offended by my own actions. You didn't do anything wrong. Okay. I serve another who looks at my heart and knows my motives. I'm in process. And I stand up here today because of the call of God and the blood of Jesus and his righteousness imputed to me. Not because I'm any better than anyone else. I'm not wrong. Thank you, Betty. I'm not wrong. Paul himself in Philippians said, not that I've already obtained this. Thirdly, the plan. The plan for transformation. Such an interesting passage. I tend to read this as that Jesus pulls this guy aside and like, look, don't tell anybody. Right? Shh. Don't tell anybody. Wink, wink. Here's a 20. Spread the word. Right? But the passion that comes out of Jesus here, sternly rebuke. He says he's mumbling, groaning. The same words he used when he raised Lazarus from the dead in the throes of agony and pain. Same words. He's passionately, shh, don't tell anybody. Except, and I love that, go tell the priest. He needs to know. His worldview needs to be turned upside down. He needs to know that one greater than the system that he's doing is here. Go to the priest. Isn't that funny? Jesus tells this new believer not to tell his testimony. Don't tell anybody what God did yet. You tell this person first. So that's what he did. He had a plan. Now we know that his plan had to do with him doing ministry within the town. Because it said, because of this, the man went out and told everybody, and he couldn't enter into the town. He had to stay out in desolate places. And people came to him. This was not the plan. See, God had a plan. This guy disobeyed, and God's plan had to change. Now, we know in God's sovereignty, he saw that. But it's interesting here that his desire was that this not happen. He was communicating something, look at me. Don't tell anybody. Why? Why would Jesus want this guy to keep it quiet? If a soul saved, sick people healed, if that was the point, success. Though Jesus is out in desolate places, they're all coming in droves. Right? Great ministry. Jesus has got a great desolate ministry. He's just out there, people are lining up, but that was not the plan. It wasn't the plan. What was the plan? That Jesus would go into the town to minister to individuals where they were. He wanted to come into the town. He wanted to be in the city. He wanted to be at your job, at your dinner table. He wanted to be inside the city because he know if people come to me outside the city, then they will disassociate the miracle and the change of a life with their everyday lives, and then they'll create a dichotomy. I go to church, and then I come home because when I go to church, I got ministered to. No, Jesus wanted to step into your home and do the miracle in your job. With your coworker, so that not only do the people who need a miracle get changed, but everyone around them who wouldn't go to the desolate place because they don't need a change, see you changed, see your lifestyle changed, see your miracle happen, and wonder, do I need a miracle? They would have never gone. Only the people who needed something left the city to find Jesus. See, Jesus wasn't content with that. He wanted to come into the city. He wanted to be a part of the everyday organism of what we call city life so that people would see the gospel played out in entertainment, in arts, in education, in government, all throughout the city. Because if the people get changed outside the city's not changed. See, the plan of God is not just that you and I get saved and cleaned up. The plan is that we would be a part of the transformation of cities. But we just want our church experience. We want our experience outside the city. But Jesus wants that transformation power within the heart of the city. That's his plan. Paul knew this. He got the gospel. He systematically and intentionally went to every major city in Rome preaching the gospel, because he knew if the city was touched with the gospel, the counties would be touched. If the city was touched, then nation states would be touched. Because the gospel's got to infiltrate the cultural, political centers of that place in order for there to be real transformation. Did God stop working? No, he's healing people, setting them free out in the country. But that wasn't his heart. He wanted to see a transformation of cities and nations. But that can only happen when the gospel infiltrates the heart. Why is that? Interesting quote from this guy here, Thomas Heatherwick. He's a London-based English designer. He says, "I'm in love with cities. I find them amazing. The quiet coordination of thousands of people going about what they're trying to do, and that organism of the city nurturing human aspiration, and the actual city fabric itself being a special thing rather than just infrastructure." Think about this: the culture of the city, the buildings, the art, the entertainment, the architecture shape the hearts and minds of the people within it and the young people who were born within it. What they will aspire to, what they will do. See, this is a living organism that needs the gospel. Timothy Keller says this: "God loves cities because there are more image of God per square inch than any other place on the earth." Just think about that. There's something about cities because that's where the people are. Now, Jesus here would take a town. He wasn't picky. A small town. But he needed to get to the heart of that town with the gospel. He couldn't get in because of the people following Jesus. How many times have we heard that? "I love your Jesus, but I don't like your people. And I can't get to Jesus because the people are in the way." And that's why we have to take the gospel into our hearts. That the message of Jesus is not, "Now my life's great and I have no problems and therefore you should be like me." The message of the gospel is, "I'm broken and busted and guilty, and Jesus loved me right where I was and forgave my sin and cleansed me and is cleansing me, changed me and is changing me, healed me and is healing me. I'm not the same man I used to be, and God, please that I would not be the man I am today a decade from now." Because his gospel is applying to my attitudes and my thoughts and my actions. What have I said this morning? Beatty, you can come up. I said this, that God's heart is for transformation. His heart is for transformation. He wants it. His passion, his love, and his hatred are together to see us changed and cities changed, to see injustice ripped down, to see things that are destroying people's lives eradicated. He's passionate for it. He'll rend heaven to get here. He'll go to a cross so that you might know his love for you. He'll die a pauper's death even though he's the creator of the universe. He has a passion for your transformation. But there's a process. One trip to the altar doesn't wipe, it wipes you clean before God, absolutely. Jesus, in one moment, eradicated your sin and guilt and shame, absolutely. Let hear this very clearly. Jesus did what you could not do. And one touch from Christ, you are made right with God forever. My faith in what Jesus has done for me, your faith in what Jesus has done for you, changes everything forever. But that's just the beginning of him starting to do a deep work in you. You have thought the wrong way about life and God and each other for decades. And that's going to take some time to unwind some of that. And there's a process. There's a process. Embrace it. Do whatever it takes. Humble yourself. Let others into your world so that you might be clean and walk a new way. And finally, the plan of God is not to sit on the outskirts of the city and have our own little Christian circle where we come and get healed. God's plan from the beginning is to take the gospel into the heart of the city. Man, I got a glimpse of this as a freshman in college. Just dumb, lots of issues. I told you, dumpster fire. But Jesus opened my eyes that I needed to be at the heart of the city. And for me, that meant the campus. I was a student. I knew what it would like to be getting to my own place outside the town, you know, where all the noise would go away. But Jesus said, no, I want you to go sign up, get back into the dorms. Be a student in the midst of them and live this gospel out. Man, I didn't like that, right? I'm not telling you as a student, go do that. But what I am saying is this. There was some intentionality about going to the heart of my city and being a light to my campus. Because I knew what going off campus would mean. Getting away. Having my own comfort, my own lifestyle. Jesus was pushing me into the city. About 5, 6, 7 years ago, he pushed me back into the city. I'm a mile away because I know where my heart would be, right? And I'm not, where you live is immaterial, but what's your mentality? I don't care if you live, there's more deer than people. Great. But is your heart for the city? For the community where the culture happens? Because regions aren't changed until the gospel gets there. God put us on this corner of Greenville. There are other places easier to build here than here. But we're here. Why? Because the gospel needs to reach the campus. The gospel needs to reach every area of the city, and God put us here so we could be a part of that. That's his plan. Let's stand as we pray. Father, we thank you that you are not just after taking away our leprosy and our sin, but you are in a mission to transform our lives. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin. If there's something in our lives this morning that is keeping us from you, that's destroying our own lives, our hearts, our relationships, I pray that you put your finger on it right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, come. If God is pointing to something, I want you to raise your hands right now and say, I need to come clean. I need to come clean before the Lord. Nobody's looking around. I'm not even looking around. Put your hands in the air. Just invite Jesus to come and heal you, forgive you. Have a moment with the God who loves you, who would bend heaven and earth and time itself to get to you. put your hands down if you want. If you're in here this morning, said, Blake, I need to engage in the process. Jesus has changed me. The leprosy's gone. I am right with God. I know it, but there's things in my life that I have just stopped. Just stopped. I've told God I'm not going any further, and I need to repent. I need to allow God to do some deep work, to engage in the process again. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. All over this room. God, forgive us for stopping, for pulling away when you reached your hand out. Forgive us. We invite you to have your way afresh today. Jesus, help us as a community of faith in this city to be a light, to be salt, that we would engage our city where we are, that you have put us here and put us in a particular region, a career, place, for a reason. Lord, we want to be a part of that transformation, Lord. We want to join you in seeing transformation in our city. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go out with a song this morning, and as we close, we're going to dismiss after that. If you need prayer, we're going to have our altar workers come down front, pray for you. Don't leave if you need ministry this morning.